Thankful when he's on the cross, I was on his mind. Old sinner like me, you don't deserve nothing. You died on the cross for me, did it for you, and he was thinking about you. So Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I'm sorry, in there, verse number 26. You can remain seated. I'm going to read a good many verses here. Luke 1, verse number 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Last Sunday we started a little series leading up to Christmas, dealing with the characters of Christmas. And this morning, as I promised, we're going to be going back to that again. This morning we're looking at one of the most recognized characters mentioned in the story of Jesus, in the birth of Jesus. And this is Mary. Obviously, we see her in the passage. She's probably one of the most recognized women in all of the Bible, all of Christianity. There are some false beliefs around Mary. We'll talk about some of those later on. But she is still a human. She was not perfect. She did have a family. She was not a perpetual virgin. It says he knew her not until she brought forth the firstborn son. She had other children after Jesus Christ. Jesus was the firstborn. She was a mother to more. So she's not to be worshipped. She is not holy. If you spend your time worshiping Mary, you're missing the entire point of the story here. She is just a human. She made mistakes like everybody else does. I'm sure she even made mistakes in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's kind of scary, isn't it? They lived in the home together. I'm sure he saw it happen. Well, that's bad, but you know, Jesus does the same thing for us. He's there and he sees the mistakes we make as well. He may not be in human presence in the home with us, but he's still omnipresent. He's there and he sees every mistake you made. So Mary, she is no saint. But she is someone that God picked out of all the women on the earth and all of Israel and said, I want to use Mary to bring forth my only begotten son of Jesus Christ, my son named Jesus Christ. Out of all the women, out of all of history, out of all of Israel, God chose Mary. What an honor. I don't know about you, but I believe there's something we can learn from Mary. I learned a lot about Joseph and his history. And the little bit we were given in the scriptures, you see his ministry with Jesus Christ. We saw the end of his life, as far as we can read, doesn't end very well. It seems as if he lost sight of what was important there at the end, at least that's the way it seems in the scriptures. What was the lesson? Don't forget Jesus. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't lose your priority of Jesus Christ. You ought to be priority over everything else in your life. And if he is not, then you have your priorities out of order. Jesus should be the priority. Talk about that with Joseph. So today, let's look at the better half of that couple, if you will, and see what we can learn from the earthly mother of Jesus Christ, and that's Mary. Mary's a picture for all ladies that they can mold their life by. Even you men can learn from her as well. Don't turn your ears off now. We can learn a lot from her simple, humble belief in God, and her faithfulness and her honesty and all these things about her. Those are both for men and women. But you ladies, you have a gold mine here, if you will, of an example of a godly woman. In every range of her life that we have recorded in the scriptures, we have a godly example from her. In her younger years, she was pure. God was able to use her because she was pure. Jesus had to be born that way. He had to be born uncorruptible, incorruptible. She believed the Lord before she had Jesus. We'll get to that more of that later on. She had faith from the beginning as a young girl there. We believe she had Jesus as a young girl. As a bride, as a wife, she was faithful. She was loyal. She trusted Joseph to lead the family. She followed him everywhere they went. Every time we see them, they're together until he passed away, is from what we believe. Always faithful to him. As an older lady, with her dying son hanging on the cross, she is still faithful to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Even after he is gone, she's still part of the church, praying together as a church family. She's an example to the young girls. She's an example to those in middle age. She's an example. She's faithful and example throughout her life. Still faithful in serving. Even after her own son is beaten and murdered, she's faithful in serving the Lord. After all is taken away from her. what an example we have here in Mary. So let's look a little deeper in her life and see what we can learn from. I know there's a lot more in the scriptures that I'm probably not going to cover myself. There's a lot in here about Mary. We get a lot more about her than we get about Joseph. But I'm going to see what we can find here in the scriptures. Number one, I see your superiority, and I'll explain. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We don't have much to describe Mary in the Bible other than that last phrase of that verse there, blessed art thou among women. Among all the women of God's people that he could use for his task, he looked down on Mary and said that she was blessed. That word blessed means to speak well of. So Mary was spoken well of among women. She's blessed among women, spoken well of among women. Angel appeared to Mary and said, Hail, that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. In other words, I've heard good things about you. Blessed art thou among women. Or good things have been said about you. Blessed art thou among women. What does that mean? It means her character was right. It means her testimony was right. She had the right character. Even as a young girl here, we believe people knew that Mary believed in the Lord. It says right here, the Lord is with thee. It says that she is highly favored. That means that she found favor with God. That means she found grace with God. What does that mean? James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves beside the Lord, and he shall lift you up. She was a humble person. She had a good character. She had the right testimony. She had the right spirit. She was humble. Again, it goes back to her character. The Lord is with her, the angel Gabriel tells her. God is with her. We know at this point they do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it says the Lord is with her. I can't explain all that to you, but that's what it says. The Lord is with Mary. I believe that's what it means. I believe that she believed in Lord Jesus Christ. I believe she believed their Savior was going to come. And God chose out of his people and out of his believers a woman to use to deliver his son. She is highly favored. She has found grace in the eyes of God. James says, God giveth grace unto the humble. The Bible says over in Matthew, we have to come in him like unto little children. We are to humble ourselves. And that's how we found grace in the eyes of God. I believe Mary all around had the right character. She had the right attitude, right testimony. She was humble. She was humble before God as well as humble before her peers. We know that because she found favor in the eyes of God. And she is also humble before man. Blessed art thou among women. She has the right history with God. She has the right history with the world. She has the right character. We see the example of Mary. She realizes she's a nobody, and that's why God is going to use her. Her superiority is not because of her, it's because of God. She's a nobody, and she realizes that, and she's humbled herself before God and before man. And God's going to make her superior. God's going to pull her out, and God's going to use her to bring forth his only begotten son. He's going to raise her up, and he's going to use her. A nobody from the backside of nowhere. She's from Nazareth. John 1:46, Nathanael. And then Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Mary came from Nazareth, where she's from, of Galilee. Nazareth is not known for good things, not known for good people. It's the backside of nowhere. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, Nathanael said. Jesus came out of there because Mary came out of there. Her superiority was not her own. If you think God's going to use you because of your special talents or your abilities or your position or your money, you can think again. God picked a nobody, young maiden, out of the backside of nowhere, down in Galilee, just a humble girl that kept herself clean and pure, with the right attitude, with the right testimony, with the right character. God looked down and said, I'm going to use her, the nobody from nowhere. Because she knew that without God, she was nothing. She had the right spirit. It's her superiority, it's not her own. Her selection, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. The angel Gabriel said, Mary, God sees your humility. The Lord is with you, he says. She saw him, and everyone else would. She trembled at his saying. Can you imagine? Angel appearing to you, she trembled at his saying. Wouldn't you be troubled? Out of nowhere, an angel from heaven appears and begins to speak to Mary. I don't know if he knocked on the door. I don't know if he just walked in the house or just appeared out of nowhere. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says he was sent from God. But it doesn't say that she was troubled at his appearing. I found that kind of interesting. It says she was troubled at his saying. I don't believe he scared her. She's troubled at his saying. She had no idea why someone would talk to her like that. Again, we see her humility. She was troubled at the way he greeted her. She was not used to being greeted in this way. Hail thou that art highly favored. She cast in her mind what this meant. That means she reckoned it over. It's what the dictionary says. She was confused. Nobody had ever talked to little old Mary like that before. Hail that art highly favored. She was troubled at this thing. God uses the nobodies. God uses the ones that don't expect to get the glory out of it. So in 1 Corinthians 1:27, But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, those things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You want God to use you? Be humble. Two times the angel mentions her favor. It's not about you. It's all about him. How's your attitude? I believe Mary was a believer. One writer said she conceived faith in God before she conceived the Son of God. The Lord was with her before Jesus came, and she found favor with him. It's all about him. Do you believe in him? Are you separated to serve? God couldn't use Mary for this task if Mary had gone off and messed up her purity with a man. God would have used someone else, I believe. It just would not have been her. The mother had to be pure. Mother of Jesus Christ had to be pure. Are you humble? Do you realize it's not about you? Are you separated for service? Have you kept yourself clean so God can use you? God can use you. If God can use Mary for this, he can use anyone. We see she's nobody from nowhere. They were just willing to be humble. She was humble. She was respected. She had the right testimony. And she was pure. We see her selection. We see her sanctity. I know my points are kind of blending together, but it's hard not to with Mary's story here. We know according to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that Jesus had to come, had some qualifications that he no doubt would fill. After all, he's God. It says in Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest, talking about Jesus Christ, became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Those are the qualifications that Jesus filled when he came to earth. But for Mary, can't talk this morning, I'm sorry. For Mary to birth Jesus, she also had to live holy and separated unto God as much as she could, being a sinner. I believe you see her spiritual fitness in this chapter as well. She was not some unbeliever that God just picked up and forced it to the family and used. She was right before God. We have already covered a good bit of that there. That woman that would birth the Son of God and nurse him and raise him up through his young boy years, then into an adult man, she had to be sanctified and fit for the master's use. You see the angel's statement to her. We also hear it from Elizabeth, Luke 1:45. And blessed is she that believed, for she had for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This blessed here is blessed is not the same as the blessed used by the angel. The word blessed here means what you would normally think is blessed. She was a blessed woman, extremely blessed. She was honored. She had things given to her. And it says, blessed is she that believed. That just means she has some faith. If she means she trusted in God, she had some faith in God. God uses and God blesses those that trust in him. Mary trusted in him. The Lord was with her before Jesus was with her. She believed before he came. God uses and blesses those that trust him. We see her humility that always accompanies true separation to God. We see that in the life of Mary. If you keep your eyes on God, you can't help but be humble yourself. If you're looking at him, you can't help but be humble. We see more of this in Mary's salutation that we'll get to later on. Her Magnificat is called towards the end of this chapter. We continue to see her spirit, her humility, her honor to be used to God in this way. God uses those that will humble themselves and trust in him, just have faith to do that he'll do what he said he'll do. She simply believed. We see her submission, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We see the statement made by the angel here. This is the will of God for Mary. Dr. Ronnie Simpson, Natalie's uncle, said this, the will of God is always revealed by the word of God. You always find the will of God in the word of God. If you can't back into what you believe the will of God is, with scripture, it's not the will of God. Find the will of God in the word of God. It was the words sent by God that Mary knew that this was the will of God. The angel has appeared. He has just told Mary exactly what God's will is for her life and what he wants to do through Mary. Mary asked only one question. I don't know about you, but I probably would have had a lot more questions. And I don't mean to dig my own grave here, but women are creatures of details. You tell a lady something like this, she's going to want to know what time and what day and what time of day and where is this going to take place and what hospital am I going to and what's the middle name going to be and all this and that. Mary asked one singular question. It was a very honest question. It's never happened before. It's never going to happen again. Verse 34. And said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It's a very reasonable question. This has never happened before. How's this going to happen? She didn't understand, and I wouldn't have either. And honestly, I still don't understand all this. You can't explain it humanly speaking. It's a miracle, but that's the only explanation for it. The will of God is sometimes overwhelming. Lord, you're going to do what? Lord, how is this going to happen? How are you going to do this? You want me to do what for you? How in the world am I going to do that? The angel doesn't argue with her. He gives her a clear explanation, verse 35. And the angel answered, said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary begins to argue and spit and scream and say how that's not going to work. She doesn't do that. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You see her submission. No arguing, just one question. She says, okay, whatever you say, Lord. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, I'm your servant. Be unto me according to thy word. She says, Lord, here am I. Whatever you want to do through me, here am I. Whatever you want to do. Notice nothing happened here with Mary until she submitted to God. She was willing to be used. God wants to use people that will humbly submit to whatever he has for them. Lord, here am I, send me. Isaiah says, Lord, whatever you want, not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus said. Lord, what your will be done. Mary says, Lord, here am I. Do whatever you want to do with my life. We see her superiority, her selection, her sanctity. We see her submission. We see her salutation. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them a low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. It's known as the Magnificat, Mary's praise, her worship to God. It's full of wisdom. It speaks of first her spirit and her praise, and it goes on to speak of him and what he will do and what he has done. But in those first three verses of it, Mary speaks of how it affects her. We see her praise. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Magnify means to make great or declare great. It means her soul spoke of how great God is. She magnified the Lord. She said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She realized that he was not just the Son of God and would not be her earthly son. And not just that, but he really would be her Savior. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I want to give birth to my Savior, not just my son. He's my Savior. He was coming to wash away her sins as well. And she realized that. She takes it personal. That rejoice means to jump for joy, exceeding joy. Mary's just beside herself, thankful that God would allow this to take place, allow the Son of God to come, and even more so that he would allow it to happen through her. Allow her to be a part of it. She continues on. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She says, I'm low. I'm of low estate, but I am his handmaiden. I may be nothing, but I'm with him. I'm his servant. The handmaiden means a servant. That regard is an interesting word in the Greek. The Greek word, I don't speak Greek, Greek word epiblepo, I believe is how you say it. Probably not. Made up of two Greek words, epi and blepo. Epi means to superimpose, to place one object on or upon another, to cover up. That's what that means. He had regarded as covered up. The last part of that word, blepo, means to see or gaze. So that Greek word, epiblepo, regarded, means he doesn't see me like he used to see me. He's covered me up with his gaze. He sees me different than he used to see me. Because of the favor, because of the grace of God, I don't look the same to him that I used to look. That's what Mary says here. He's coming as my Savior to take away my sins. I'm not going to look the same anymore. I don't look the same to him. He doesn't look on me like a sinner. He hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. He looks at me different. He doesn't look at me like the lowest state of a handmaiden. He doesn't look on my lowly life like I am. He doesn't look on my lowest state. He doesn't see me like the world sees me. He sees me as worthy and not as I am, the song says. Why? Because of grace, because of the favor, grace of God. Aren't you glad today that by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved and he'll not look on us the same ever again? When he looks on us, he'll see his son. Are you saved today? Has he regarded the low state of you, his handmaiden? Mary said, he hath regarded me. He doesn't see me like he used to see me. She's just praising God. She says, I'm unworthy. I'm nothing. But my soul just wants to magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. He doesn't look on me like he used to. He has regarded me. I'm not like I used to be because of him. What is she doing? She's just testifying, thanking God for what he has done in her life, just for who he is. We see her salutation. We see her, in the South, they call that a shouting fit or excitement. Her testifying to Elizabeth of just how good God really is. When's the last time you just stepped back and realized how good God has been to you and thanked Him for it and thanked Him for what He's done for you? I promise you it's good for you. It wouldn't hurt you a bit. It would help you through your week. It's okay to say something in church, something. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and thank for doing something with my life. You say, well, I just don't want to disturb anything. I promise you're not going to disturb me. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord a little bit. Mary was excited about God. When's the last time you're excited about what God's done? You see her salutation. It wasn't just a son to her. It was a Savior to her. We see her service. We always talk about the birth of Jesus, how magnificent it was. And it really, it was. It was a miracle. And it ought to be talked about. This is in verse number 7 in the next chapter. That's what we always talk about, Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. There's no room for them in the inn. We always preach on that and talk about that at Christmas time. We see the service of Mary in this verse. How she bore Jesus, how she brought forth Jesus, her firstborn son. Again, she's a virgin. Jesus has to be the firstborn. Scripture's there for a reason. We see her care for him. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She is his mother. As much as he's her Savior, she is his mother. We know this is a supernatural birth, but Jesus was all God, and he was all man at the same time. He wasn't 50-50. He was 100% God, 100% man. His features, his human characteristics, they came from Mary. I believe him and Mary shared some similarities. He was her mother. He may have had Mary's eyes or his hair or her nose. I believe it looks similar. We don't normally think about those things, but he was her mother. This was not just a one-time thing for Mary. This was not just carry the son for 9 months and be born and be done with it. This was her son. This was her life. Her service to God did not stop after the manger. We know that, but do we really think about it? She raised Jesus her entire, she gave her life to the Lord. At 12 years old, he's still there in the home. We can reach that in the end of chapter number 2. They lost Jesus and went to the temple. He stayed. They left without him. Mary took Jesus. She nursed Jesus. She cared for Jesus. She nursed his wounds from the carpentry shop. If that, I don't know if that happened or not, but I imagine so, in the carpentry shop, and nursed his wounds. Mary was his mother. There at the marriage of Cana, she was there with him. He attended the wedding with his mother. There in the ministry, she was around. He was no longer living in the home, but he's even there on the cross. She's still there with him. Jesus was the subject unto his parents, the Bible says. He was raised in their home. He was to obey his parents in the home. Even at the temple, when he must be about his father's business, he returned to his parents' house to be subject unto them, to respect them. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Where did he do that? In the home of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph didn't sign up for 9-month assignments. This is a lifetime. Now, admittedly, I have no idea what it'd be like to raise Jesus. 30 years, she raised him before he left to begin his ministry. 30 years, as far as I can read, he was in the home of Mary and Joseph up until Joseph died, that is. Her service, she had to be faithful. This was a long assignment. This was a lifetime living for the Lord. Sometimes people like to volunteer for part-time ministry work. Part-time work for the Lord, that doesn't exist. It doesn't work that way. You give your life to the Lord. It's his to use however he sees fit. If you turn your back, you're in direct disobedience to him. This was a commitment for life. Are you willing to make that commitment? Are you willing to give up your life for the Lord? Angel came and appeared to Mary. I know Mary didn't know all that would entail. She asked one question. I'm sure she didn't know the entire everything that happened in her life. She gave her life to raising the Lord and serving the Lord. Are you willing to alter the remainder of your life to be with Jesus? To get close to Jesus? Mary was. We see her service. We see her sorrow. Luke 2, verse number 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is when Jesus was 8 days old. They took him to the temple for circumcision there. Simeon was there with the Holy Ghost upon him, the Bible says, waiting for the appearing of Messiah. He was waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus comes in. He got to see him. And this is what he had to say. Notice the extra note there he gave to Mary in the end of that second verse. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. The sword will pierce through the heart and lungs of Jesus when he's piercing his side on the cross. We know that because the blood and the water came out. He's pierced that way. It was, instead of breaking his legs, again, to fulfill prophecy. But Simeon says to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. He is prophesying about Jesus' ministry and Jesus' crucifixion here when he's talking to them in the temple. This sword-piercing Mary, there are many different opinions on this and a bunch of different commentaries of different opinions of what that is. Notice it says the sword shall pierce thine own soul. Not thine heart, not thy body, not that, just the soul. I believe it's referring to heartbreak, the grief that Mary is going to have to endure as she watched her son hang on the cross. He's talking about Jesus hanging on the cross, talking about Jesus dying. And now he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. She's not going to be apart from grief. She's not going to be pulled away from sorrow. She's still his mother. John 19, 25 says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith to his mother, woman, behold thy son. And saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Notice Mary's sorrow. This is her son, Jesus Christ. The boy she birthed into the world, the boy she raised all those years. She spent 30 years with him in the home. She's seen him in ministry for 3.5 years now. And now she's watched her son be accused and stripped and beaten and hung on a cross and suffering for hours. She has watched every bit of this. He's every bit her savior, but he's every bit still her son. And Simeon said, a sword shall pierce thine own soul also. See her sorrow, see her grief. Jesus gives her away to John. More proof that Joseph is gone at this point. Jesus being the firstborn has become the head of the home after the father's gone. Instead of giving his mother to his younger brethren, who at this point are not believers. I'm sure there's strife in the home because of that. They want to throw Jesus in jail at different times. Mary, she's a special lady in the scriptures. She's highly favored. She was chosen by the mother to be the mother of Jesus Christ, but she's still an earthly mother. And I can't imagine the enormous grief and sorrow she had to go through at this time. The sword shall pierce her own soul also. Her firstborn, her miracle baby, if you will, is suffering and dying on the cross right in front of her eyes. We see her superiority, her selection, her sanctity, her submission, her salutation, her service. We see her sorrow. Lastly here, maybe the most important, we see her steadfastness. Mary's been through ups and downs for around 34 to 35 years now after Jesus is gone. She had the miracle of the angel coming and appearing to her in Luke 1. She had the unrest, no doubt, they dealt with when Joseph found out that she was expecting. And no doubt there was talk, they were the talk of the town for quite a while. I don't know if she ever got past that with some people. I don't know if they ever believed that Jesus was virgin born. I imagine there's many that did not. She's dealt with that. She's dealt with the trouble of bringing a baby into the world with no place to lay his head. She's seen shepherds come and praise that he was born. She's seen praising her son. She's been warned of the sorrow by Simeon in the temple. She's met wise men who came in from afar just to bring her son some gifts. She's dealt with having to flee for the life from the King Herod into a foreign country of Egypt because of her son. She's been able to come back home. She's lost her son Jesus there at the temple. She found him. She most likely dealt with the loss of a husband. She's dealt with unrest in families. Her own children will not follow her own son, Jesus Christ. And even at some point, saying he deserves to be put in prison. She's seen her son believed in. She's seen her son non-believed in. She's seen her son threatened. She's seen him perform miracles after miracle. She's seen him misunderstood and abused for his miracles. She's seen him arrested, tried, found guilty of nothing, still beaten, still stripped and murdered on a cross. She's seen him buried in a borrowed tomb. She's seen him rise again. She spent a few more days with him, and she's seen him disappear into the clouds, never to return in her earthly lifetime, even though she may believe it to be sooner than that. And then we come to the book of Acts. Go ahead and turn there, Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, verse 12. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day's journey. So Jesus just ascended up into heaven for the last time while they're on this earth. And when they were come, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You know, I know you already know this passage here. Who's there in the upper room waiting the arrival of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter? There with all 120 of them, the Bible says, those followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, they are present with him and with his brethren. Mary's still there, still believing in him. She could have given up by now. You've seen all her ups and downs in her life. That's just a little bit we have recorded. I know there's numerous stories that we don't have recorded in the Gospels, but she's still there in the middle of the church. Now she's got this, her other brethren in there, Jesus' other brethren in there with her. I don't know if she convinced them. I don't know if it was his resurrection that convinced them. I don't know what it was. But they've had a heart change. Now they're with her in the early church. Mary is still serving her son, her Savior. We see her steadfastness. She knew where she should be, and she remained steadfast, remained faithful. They were all together in one accord in prayer and supplication, it says. She was just there. Notice where she is in the list, almost at the very end. She was not worshipped. Some religions make her out to be. She was just there in the house of God with the other people, praying and with prayer and supplication with the rest of the church. She's just faithful. She's just steadfast, unmovable, always bound in the work of the Lord. Could that be said about you one day? Will you be steadfast? You say, well, you don't know what I've been through. What about Mary? She's watched her son been murdered in front of her, cruelly beaten and murdered in front of her eyes. Got to see him rise again. Imagine that emotional roller coaster she's been through her entire life. She was steadfast, still her Savior. The life of Mary is a powerful example we have here in the Scriptures. What a life she lived for the Lord, devoted to serve God even before Jesus came. And after him, she regarded him as her Savior and then her son. And she fulfilled both positions. She fulfilled the position of Christian and the position of mother, as far as recorded, quite well at both of those. What an example and a character of Christmas. She's not to be worshipped. We ought to save that for her son. But she does deserve some respect. She's quite the example. No matter what stage of life you may be in, she was steadfast, always abound in the work of the Lord. It's the mother of Jesus Christ, his earthly mother. He didn't pick just anybody. He picked Mary, willing to be used, willing to be faithful, willing to be steadfast. No matter what trial came her way, no matter what triumph came her way, she remained the same. Remained steadfast. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for even giving us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for your examples in Scripture you've given us. We can mold our lives by. Lord, thank you for the example of Mary. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, thank you for guarding my low estate, Lord, and saving my soul. Thank you for looking on me different than you used to because of grace. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray you help us guard us every way today. I pray you help us serve us tonight. In Jesus' name.